thank you very much for joining us for a festival focus bonus from the Horse's Mouth podcast. My name is Patrick Connelly, and I am joined by our two regular boffins looking ahead to the Galway Festival and a little bit of Goodwood sprinkled in there. But we have a special guest because it is a special week, week ahead of the big festival. None other than Fran Berry is going to join us as well, because Galway, as we know, it's flat and jumps. And Fran, you yourself are flat and jumps. What happened there? Why did you move from one to the other?
I think when Tijani got beaten in the Galway hurling in 1998, it was time to give it up and go on the flat, Patrick. And my weight went the other direction instead of getting heavier, which I am now. Back then I got lighter and was able to concentrate in the flat. And Galway was always a big week, though, either code.
Who was first, Jim Crowley or you to switch?
Myself, yeah.
Yeah, so you. So it was then Crowley, Graham Lee. You were quite the man. You were quite the trendsetter.
Yeah, I probably should have stayed jumping. I got more injuries on the flat than I did over jumps, but that's the joys of the game. And yeah, it wasn't the done thing at the time, but no. I was kind of mixing between both codes. But my weight, as I said, when it came right, then you're getting to riding group race or whatever, you know, it was kind of no brainer at the time.
Yeah, sure. Jessie Harrington even followed you, or she's kind of sort of following you to a degree anyway. And of course, Jamie Spencer, who might come up on this episode of From the Horse's Mouth as well. Another one who won over hurdles at the Galway Festival and the Big Gamble. Ruby Walsh and Frank Kiki join us as per usual after a very good tipping weekend, particularly you, Frank. I think you smashed in 3 out of 4 on Sunday, was it?
3 out of 3 yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Still couldn't keep everyone happy. Still getting abuse on Twitter, but sure, that's the size of it.
Never mind. It was actually, it was a good tweet. Someone said, you're like a Bob Dylan song or something along those lines.
Yeah, fucking 10 shite to every good one or something to that effect. Maybe it's not those exact words, but something like that. Just Ruby, have to...
Ruby, why did you leave Twitter?
I wonder why PK, but I wonder, actually, I was looking at the handicap board of Macarez and thinking, why didn't I take PK? Offered me each way on the nap and I went,
I
thought jumping the last, we were going to collect at 9-1, but didn't find the whole pile.
Paddy Brennan
could have done.
Yeah, no, he gave it exactly the way you want him to ride it cold, although Macarez is probably not the track to ride in cold, but such was that. The competitiveness of that summer hurdle. Yeah, look, there was 4 or 5 men coming down. It was like the Open Championship until Marikawa ran away with it. Right, lads, we're talking Galway. And it is, again, it's a funny one. There's probably going to be lots of people there, way more people there, not necessarily at the track then, but outside and in the town. So hopefully there will be an atmosphere, albeit with only 1,000 in. Let's talk about the track, Fran and Ruby. Is it fair to say, I'm going to start with you, Fran, it is the most unique track in Ireland?
Oh, definitely one of them, I suppose. It's just so undulating. It's only a mile and one around, really nearly a mile and a quarter. But that downhill run from the 5 furlong marker into a dip, and then you have a right-handed turn with a mountain to climb, basically. Last furlong is quite severe uphill, and look and running counts for a lot. And it's probably the most competitive racing you'll get for the greater horse, because everybody wants to be there with a runner. Racing can be quite rough, and you'd always look back at replays. You can pick out 2 or 3 horses that maybe should have won. And look, we've had 2 future Group 1 winners beaten in Galway in the flat. Laganor got beaten a few years ago off Marcus 75. 18 months later, she wins Group 1. Alexander Goldrun, multiple Group 1 winner, got beaten in a nursery there. Now her stall open late, but it just shows you what can happen around Galway. Anything can happen.
Yeah, Wembley was beaten in the maiden last year. He had to go to Roscommon to win his maiden and then finish second in a couple of Group 1s. Ruby, same comments apply to the jumps track, or is it a little bit more, because it's wider, I guess, certainly the chase track?
Yeah, but obviously the hurdle track is on the flat track. The hurdles go up and down well. They would have gone up and down in times gone by. Now with it, in COVID times, being 2 flat cards, 3 jump and 2 flat, I think definitely the nature of Galway for the party atmosphere that it is, the mixed cards do suit it for race courses. A bit of variety probably doesn't suit all the professionals, but at the end of the day, it is entertainment. And I definitely think those mixed cards work there. But it is unique. And I suppose because of its profile, PK, it probably gets hyped up. But it isn't any more undulating or difficult than Tramore, Clonmel, yeah. Downpatrick, and even Sligo, I would argue, is as stiff as Galway. I think Sligo's even stiffer because you're climbing for longer. But it is a great track, and I think it probably, to me, the likes of those tracks have added to the ability of Irish jockeys. I think when you learn to ride most of the Irish tracks, when you get onto foreign soil or onto bigger, more galloping tracks, things happen slower. It's all much easier. But I think when you've cut your teeth around those places, 5-6 furlongs in Ballinrobe, 5 furlongs or 6 furlongs in Sligo, Fran, is it?
Extended 5 furlongs, yeah.
When you've learned to ride those sort of tracks, you find the bigger, better ones a bit easier.
Do you need a bit of show jumping training for those last two fences? How many strides between the last two?
It depends. Every horse varies. There can be somewhere from between 6-7, even 8. It depends on the horse you're riding. It depends where you land in, PK. If you're stand way off the first one and only just get there, you'll need 7 to get out. If you can be spot on at the first one and you keep kicking when you get in, you'll get out on 6. So I never tended to show jump, but I rode them as 2 separate fences rather than as a block and just take them as they came.
Is it fair to say they're the closest? They've got to be the 2 closest fences in Ireland and the UK, but you've ridden in Australia and Japan. Is there anything? I know Japan like their old idiosyncratic ways. Do they have something like that?
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think now, were the jumps that close together? Definitely not as late in a race. It never gets picked up, but the first two down the back in Killarney are quite close together. Okay. Those two fences, they're further apart, obviously, but they're vital fences on the track in Killarney, those two fences. You can ping two of those in Killarney, you get the horses behind you in some trouble. But yeah, they are. They ride well, to be fair. And over the years in Galway, with track management and different rail alignment, even the second last hurdle has moved considerably from where I started riding. The second last hurdle on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday used to be on the downhill in Galway. Whereas now with moving the hurdle and with different rail alignments, the second last hurdle is taken on the uphill. We don't get as many fallers. But Galway is a tight track, but it's for a tight track, it's a track where you have to have patience.
Yes, and you had that in abundance. Fran, the draw got to be crucial, right? On a track like, if you have an anti-post bet on, I'm not sure how early Frank will be up with like the Going Mile or the McDonough's, it's still known, probably someone else sponsored it at this stage. Is like, if you're drawing double figures, do you as a jockey just go, can't win?
I wouldn't say can't win. Last year, Salt and Stall came from stall 12. Nord came from stall 18, was beating a nose, but they're two horses that had a little bit in hand at a handicapper. Nord was only beat by order of Australian at Group 3 yesterday. So you have to have that bit of class to overcome it. I was lucky to ride for people that would allow you to just go to plan B around Galway. No plan, miss the start, cut across, ride for luck, take it as it comes. Because if you try and gun forward, particularly over the mile, but any trip, Galway is obviously 3 main flat trips. It's the mile, mile and a half, 2 miles. The 2 mile draw is huge. It's probably a bigger factor as the mile draw. We'll see the amateur handicap on the Monday. Ruby will tell you this. See, the single figure draws have a big advantage there, even over that 2 mile distance. So at all the trips, it's a huge factor, but you got to be able to take the draw as well. You got to be able to jump and travel. There's no point being drawn 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever it is, and be slow at the gates because you're going to get chopped up and you're out with the washing then. So it's you get a lot of horses too with only the 3 distances running at trips that might be short or further of their best. So, you know, that comes into it also. But all trips, Ruby, I think draw is totally key for all that you can overcome it, but you do need things to fall your way.
You do, but I think Galway is the one track where you can win overdoing the waiting, but you won't win when you go too soon. It's amazing to watch the amount of people that turn from the back of the castle and roll into the dip and set sail, and they're thinking, yeah, I see you again there at Furlong Pole, because it is just that kind of a track that if you don't travel to the bottom of the dip before you change gear, it's a hard place to win.
Kind of Gavin Ryan last year, wasn't it, on Salt and Stall? I remember you were on RTE, weren't you, Ruby? And they were really, I'm not sure if it's Hugh Cahill or something, this was an unbelievable ride, but you were kind of saying, kind of nothing he could do really at that stage. He had to just basically wait and bide his time.
That's it. And in Galway, if you can just have the courage to wait, because the horses in front will start stopping. If you just wait for it to happen, you see so many races change really late in Galway. And it's the one tiring and the one catch, the one finishing, 9 times out of 10 catches the one that's tiring.
Well, keep an eye out for those late finishers. Let's talk about some of the great victories from yourselves over the course of the Goy Festival. 2 plates for you, Ruby, but very spread apart. Where were we at in the, I don't know how many years, between a 19-year-old Ruby Walsh rode Moscow? Am I right in saying 19? You were 19?
99, was it?
It could have been. I'm not sure what year it was, but in Moscow Express, 1999.
Yeah, I'd say I was just going 20. Was it? Okay. I was 20.
You were 20. And Francis Crowley, of course, trained, was 26, fresh out of UCD, a commerce graduate. I mean, that's pretty nuts when you think. I know, obviously, Dunnigan and Joseph have kind of tread new ground with young trainers, but that must have been, like, bizarre for two kids.
Huge. Obviously, Aidan had left Piltown and gone to Ballydoyle a couple of years previously. And Frances took over her dad's yard. Joe Crowley's on the bottom side of the hill. And yeah, I rode a lot of winners for Frances. Moscow was a very good horse, but Moscow had his own way of jumping. He didn't get any higher than he had to get, and often got lower than he should have got. But he was a high-class horse. He had a nice weight in his back. I rode him a couple of more plates. I think he could have been fourth on him the following year with 12 stone 2 on his back. But yeah, he was in the van every step of the way. Hurdled his fences and was flat out a long way out, but he held on to beat Lucky Town. I think Norm Williamson could have been third. Yeah, it was a huge occasion back in 1999. You know, Francis was, myself and Pat weren't married then. They were going out all right, but yeah, that was a great day.
I bet it was. Frank, do you remember, I know you were only a child back then, but do you remember if there was money for Moscow Express that day or were you allowed bet at that time?
Yeah, I was allowed bet. I had my first ever bet 2 years before, but I was just looking about it actually earlier, and it was back from 9 to 1 in the morning into 4 to 1. Oh. So it was a bit of a gamble.
All right, okay, so clearly nice well backed. Nice touch there for the two kids and Ruby Walsh and Francis Crowley. Ocelot then came along.
One thing I just mentioned quickly, do you know Fran rode that horse as well the year before?
I was just going to say, I think he was one of the factors in me stopping and jumping. I rode him over hurdles in Navan one day, and he'd won his couple of novice chases. I think Garrett Cotter might have won him a couple of times, and back over hurdles, you know, chase for back over hurdles. Ah, lovely ride to get. He broke every hurdle in Navan. I mean, he galloped through every hurdle, and just on him, he ran, Ruby would remember this, he ran in the big novice handicap chase at the Punchtown Festival. And I think it might have been a UK-based rider, from what I can recall. Might have been booked unknown to him. And then everybody said, you don't want to be riding him. He's not nice. He's not whatever. So spare ride came up anyway. Nobody wanted to ride him. I think Barry Cash might have rode Ruby, took the spare ride. But there was literally a scatter of people not wanting to ride Moscow Flyer around Punchestown, that novice handicap.
I remember going up over the brow of the hill, heading to the first fence, upsides in front, 21 of them, well, one beside me, 20 of them behind you, thinking, this is either going to go really well or end in proper tears. But yeah, he just hurdled fences, but he had a knack of finding a leg. If you could manage to keep your two hands sewn to the mane and a leg either side of him, but he just had his own way of doing it.
You must have lost teeth riding him, as in a different reason, because he'd be just grinding your teeth the whole time, just like grimacing over every fence, or do you just go, there's nothing?
No, usually when you're petrified, they're chattering together.
Yeah.
You're more grinding them. But no, he was, look, he had his own way of doing it. And he had, like, you hear about wind issues and wind problems. Like, Moscow Express would start making a noise with a mile to run in the race. Yet he just seemed to gallop through it. He was an incredible race horse. I'm not sure as he passed away. I know he was in, Crowley's had him for a long time after he retired. And you couldn't catch him in the field. Like, he was as odd as two left feet.
Well, what a horse. 26 wins from 81 starts. That is an incredible.
He won the grade one, what is the Punchestown Gold Cup now, when Punchestown was closed for reconstruction. He won that in Ferriers a couple of years later with Barry Geraghty.
Jeez. He was well in then when you won on him, for sure. The other horse I want to talk about, there was a few years in between Moscow Express and Ocelot. Your association with Paul Nicholls was well and truly cemented. And I'm going to play some audio for this as you, I think you're about to take it up kind of just about at the top of the hill. And I mean, I'm looking back again, I'm seeing, Frank, that this horse was well-backed. Ruby, you did seem to be on a few well-backed ones. Was Paul kind of, yeah, this fella's going to win, Ruby? Or, I mean, can he be that confident in a place?
Yeah, well, look, year before we brought Hula Baloo over, and he was absolutely running away when he got brought down at the second fence on the second circuit. I was sitting in second place down the inside, and he got brought down. Now, the following year, we brought Hula Baloo again, and Nick Schofield rode him, but that was to keep the weights down nice and low for Ocelot. Ocelot had a nice weight in his back, and he was chucked in, and he just travelled so well, jumped from fence to fence. And yeah, look, from the time I was in the dip, it was just don't go too soon.
Yeah,
it's a flea, he got the trip, he jumped like a stag, and it was a plan well executed.
I was there. It was a great cheer because I think he was back from sixes down to 11 to 4 on the day, and I thought you're going to win about 20 lengths, but I think in the end it's only about 4 or 5. I thought, like, jump at the last, you're going to hack up here.
Yeah, he pinned the second last and jumped out really well, and I had to go on him then, but as I said to you, you're always worried about going too soon in Galway, and Odachi kept coming after him, but yeah, he red eagled him far enough out that I just got a long way without having to go for him, and enough in the tank to get up the hill to win.
And back in third, you'll see finishing fast here is a horse called Ansar. What a legend of a horse that fellow was, Ansar. How many races did he win, Fran, at Galway?
All of them?
Ansar, multiple. He won the obviously Galway Hurdle with Paul Carberry. He won the Chase with David Casey. Remarkable horse, ex-Aga Khan, and still going around Galway year on year, wasn't he?
Ah, he's a class horse. Fran, tell me about a horse. Let's talk about horses who take to the track. And one that you rode was a horse called Busted Tycoon, who you struck up a decent association with Tony Martin for a few years, didn't you? And he was one of those who not just you rode, but you definitely won on him, right?
I did. Tony Martin, great record in Galway and all roads for last month to Galway with Tony. He was down to the Curragh. He trained in County Meath. He'd be down to the Curragh to use the gallops 2-3 days a week. Every week in the 4 weeks leading up to Galway, he'd have the Battrum scales out. He'd be weighing you. He'd have no word of a lie. You wouldn't think it, but Thomas Edison, of course, he won the Galway Hurdle, and he was one of the horses that was prepped by him. But real target trainer. All his owners would come back from America for the festivals, and Galway was the big one. And Busted Tycoon, yeah, she went there as a bit of an unknown quantity. I only looked at the replay this morning. She won well now, but she obviously went on then to do something that we didn't see until One Cool Port. She won 3 in a week at the festival, and Ruby rode her over hurdles, and Shane Shortall, funny enough, rode her on the flat on the Saturday.
Ruby, did Tony Martin get the weighing scales out for you?
Yeah, I can remember that. You're getting the weighing scales out with me to see how much I was giving France. You'd put a lead bag on France to balance it up with the one I'd be riding. But I can remember, did I win the last race on her? Was her third? I think it was her third run when I won on her. And she was definitely feeling the effects of it by the time I got to ride her. But she did, and she won. And Galway is that kind of a track. Horses for courses, as Fran said, you saw it with One Cool Poet. We even had it with Clondaw Warrior. But Galway is, when you get horse with form in Galway, it pays to follow them.
When we talk about Galway, lads, mainly the headlines going in are, the talk is, here's the Dermot Weld horse for the Monday Night Maiden or the Tuesday Night Maiden. The Monday Night Maiden, yeah. Fran, have we got to the stage now where we can think, do you know what, maybe the days are finished where it's the Dermot Weld Festival? You know, it's gotten too competitive?
I'd say it's got more competitive. He's definitely got more opposition, you know, in the handicaps, and Willie Mullins running well-handicapped horses from the jumps back in the flat, potentially well-handicapped. And Aidan O'Brien, he's bringing good 2-year-olds to run there, and the Coolmore team have supported big time. I think Dermot Weld is an interesting bunch of 2-year-olds though this year, okay. And I wouldn't be backing against him. He'd one run yesterday, Shamina, who was third yesterday in the Curragh. Quick turnaround to Galway, but she was very much an eye catcher in the first race to Curragh. If she pitched up, I wouldn't be against her by any means. But it's not the domination that we've seen in the past. He nearly had it himself for a long time. People wouldn't go there. Now Ballydoyle, Willie, you know, there's a bit more going on, but that's the quality of the whole competition. I look back when I was second in the Galway Hurling, Tijani, he's rated 106. Black Queen was rated 106. Now you wouldn't get into handicap hurling, a low grade handicap hurling there, you know.
Barely get into the 109 on the Monday night, rated 106.
Amazing when you look back in the space of 20 years how the whole thing has risen. Grace Swallow winning there as a maiden, you just don't know what you're going to run into. But the condensed nature of the handicaps of two has changed the whole thing, I think, Ruby.
Oh, massively. And as you say, like, I mean, you look at that handicap hurdle on the Monday night, it is an odd to, could be 109 or 116, but there'll only be an 8-pound weight range in it. And that just shows you how competitive it is. There's another, and actually, it's funny, there's almost a consolation to the Galway Hurdle, which we used to be running the Friday night. And when people miss the cut for the Galway Hurdle, very few end up going for that one. And it's a race Tom Mullins has targeted a few times in the past and won it with Top of the Ra and a couple of more horses. But it just is incredibly competitive. And even the blazers for the horses that don't get into the plate, that's 75,000 now. That'll be a really competitive handicap chase as well.
Very competitive on the track, very competitive off the track in the betting ring. Frank, you're on. You're representing the company. Tell me about some of the big gambles that have taken place and collected, I suppose, at Ballybrit.
I suppose Carrion for Lock is one that would jump off the page, wouldn't it? 2013 Galway Plate was a reserve. Like Your Style was trained by JP, came out. And
was it Dempsey you trained Like Your Style? Was it Philip Dempsey, I think? And
I think it might have been.
And that was amazing that one came out in the morning, isn't it? Incredible. Yeah.
Carrion for Lock gets in, gets backed into favouritism, AP on and does the job, gets up in the last furlong. But look, I suppose he was very well handicapped at hindsight. He went on and won two grade one novice chases that season, so he was well treated, to be fair. Something I'd mentioned there, that wasn't the gamble that landed, but I think it might have led to a gamble that was landed, was in 2016. I believe Charles was going for a little bit of a touch with Sea Light and Crystal Pearl. Sea Light was second, very well backed. Crystal Pearl slipped up coming into the straight when travelling really well. And rumour has it that the Roscommon gamble was kind of landed off that as compensation, and he got far more than compensation as the Roscommon gamble. But I think he lost a few quid at Galway, but got it all back and more at Roscommon a month later.
I love the way you just call him Charles. Charles Burns, I'm pretty sure you're referring to.
Everyone knows when you say Charles.
Charlie. Fran, were you ever legged up on something and it was basically told, look, the money's down now, Fran. Now, you know, I know this is Galway, but the money's down. Go on, you better go in.
Oh, look, every year is a plot in Galway, no matter who you're riding for, because the owners are down there. It's all set to go. It's the worst week of the year to ride for some trainers because they lose the run of themselves. They build themselves up. Oh, this is our day. But then they get down there. Oh, you're drawing stall five. Yeah, but he's running too far and short and he should be. He probably won't have the pace to take it. And anyway, that's the attraction of Galway. Everybody goes there with a dream and a plot. Over the years, you know, you get a handicapped debutant steps into Tony Martin. Every year, he'd have one or two. The two-mile handicaps are always good for it. And one in domination for Charles Burns there 1 year. That, I think, was a big one for him.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Everyone that his wins. When it's 0-0-0-1, yeah, those are the ones.
It's a week you could make friends and lose a lot of friends in, so you could work-wise. So
it's interesting to say people get carried away, because I think I was one of them a few years ago when I was involved in a horse with Paddy Power and a few more, and Fuart we got out of England, and it had worked the week before in the car with Canary Row and absolutely worked all over him and went down for the Topaz Mile, think he was going to win. Had an absolute bomb of cash in him, and he missed the break five lengths and bled and finished second or third last. That was just
there you go.
So you made your way to the unsaddling enclosure for the unplaced horses at the back of the Wareham to greet your jockey and talk to your horse, did you?
No.
We lost. We're at the bar. We don't care what's happening down there.
We went into the champagne tent, and I remember it very, very well. I got mocked for buying the cheap stuff, that I wasn't buying the vintage stuff.
Well, hold on, your horse lost.
Pardon?
So, your horse lost. So
bad loser. Wouldn't buy the vintage.
As I said to the person who made the comment, he goes, "Tell Paddy to pay me more, and I'll buy you the vintage."
Exactly.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
You touched on the mixed card atmosphere, Ruby. I actually was going to talk about this. Does that help those in the industry, the likes of yourselves, the likes of the Flat Boys, because it's a kind of a half day, and you can kind of enjoy the festivities to a degree as much as you're working? You know, you might be finished by like 5-6 o'clock.
Yeah, but you're working 7 days PK instead of working three. So it's catch 22. The way it is now, you could stay Friday night and there's no jump racing on a Saturday. So it probably suits better from that point of view. But I just think as an event, I think, and whilst I advocated for a lot of all jumper off flat cards when I was riding, I think there are certain places that they work. And I think Galway is that unique venue that showcases the best of both. And I think they're hopefully we'll go back to being mixed cards next year when COVID is. Will it be sorted by next year, lads? Will there be some other variant?
Are we going to exclusively
Alpha
reveal?
What's C? D is Delta. What's E? The elephant variant is coming next, isn't it?
Oh, jeez. Please, God, no. I must say, because my father worked in the industry, and it was the one festival that we went to where he was able to kind of come out for the dinner or something like that afterwards, which was great. Like, you know, it kind of does, even those in the industry as well as those going, managed to get that little bit of a break. Right, lads, let's talk potential winners, because a lot of people do listen to this for winners. And Frank, you've been going well in the last few weeks. Give us a horse. Give us at least one horse next week. And then look, we've no prices, so we're going, and we've no entries. So this is very much kind of what you think you've seen over the last few weeks. So I'll start with you, Fran, because I know you picked out a couple, beating the plate or the hurdle. What do you got for us?
Hey, well, that Derby Well Trained runner, Shamina, if she runs in a maiden there, she's going to be hot. And the Monday of Galway, Ruby will tell us more about Feveros there, where he's going in a minute. But Run for Mary was a very good winner at Limerick recently. Cathal Burns now trains. Philip Burns will ride, and that one makes appeal probably in the big amateur race. But the big handicap on Tuesday, the flat race, really interesting to see if Lola Showgirl comes over, trained by David Lochnane. She won in Royal Ascot, giving him his first Royal Ascot winner. He's from Galway. He's earned it up twice in the week. It could be the boy coming home to do good. And she's a front runner, gets in the pace. She could be very interesting. And on a session, was trained in Ireland last year. He was second in the Ahanura handicap. He's with David Barron now. Didn't run too well the last day at Ascot, but he's entered up twice in Galway, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him coming back. He's one to keep an eye on.
Good man. I definitely think, I heard David Lochnane, I think it was on the Nick Luck podcast, which I mentioned far too often in the show. I think he was on that, and he did say Galway's the plan after she won. But obviously she's entered. So yeah, great shout there. See if David Lochnane come west and get a winner. Ruby, come on, give us one or two. There's got to be a few.
Fran just mentioned Feveros there for Luke McMahon. I'd say he'll run in the amateur handicap on the Monday night, and Aubrey will take the ride. Now, he's won the race twice on Whiskey Sour and Uradel. They both ended up 100-plus horses. Yeah. I'm not so sure Feveros has the scope to go that far, but he does have some decent form in Galway. He beat Quartz de Roo there in October last year when Paul Townend rode him. And I think he also won. He beat Little Nugget in Galway. That's two wins in Galway. And I thought I won him in Galway as well. Doesn't look like I did, but Paul won him twice in Galway. So, he's definitely a horse that likes the track, but he did get a fair hike for winning at the Curragh. When Wayne Lorden won on, he won at 66. He's up to 83 now. That's a 17-pound hike more, isn't it? A 17-pound hike. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets on. Yeah, but he does have plenty for it. I think the two beginners' chases, maybe Blueberry in one and Lady Breffney in the other. And the novice hurdles, with the West Awake, Far Out, that won a maiden hurdle, Dark Voyager. They will be all of interest. And the novice chase then, maybe Rabinia would be the best of the three of them, but she'd need to improve a bit to get involved. Royal Rendezvous was second in last year's plate. He'll go back for the plate again. I just don't see obvious ones in the Galway hurdle or the Galway plate for Willie. I fancied Royal Rendezvous last year. Can he win it this year? I don't know. I like second season novices, and I don't think we have any for it.
Well, I do my best, Brian Gleeson. Ruby Walsh. You're Ruby Walsh. You're with Willie Mullins. Give the punters one horse for Galway. One for the punters, one for the lads. Come on now, Ruby.
7 days, PK. One a day you'd want, wouldn't you? To make it pay. But I think the ones I mentioned, Far Out, Dark Voyager, the West of Eight, Lady Breffney, Blueberry.
It's pretty awful, Brian Gleeson, I must say. I can't do that Waterford accent. Frank, give us a couple for the festival.
Yeah, well, look, obviously I was very keen on Sea Ducker long term for the Galway hurdle, but that run the Curragh would be very off-putting. So I'd wait and see if he even gets an entry.
This is the Arthur Moore horse. Was it not weak on the day, Sea Ducker?
He was weak in the day, yeah, but you'd want to see more than what he showed that day. Did he finish it? Did he come in last that day?
He was, well beaten.
Not a lot of positivity in that run. Two, looking at some entries, all right. Cullen Quinn Moyle, I thought Baseman stood out. For Dermot Well, bit of reputation. I think he was well backed on debut before being an on runner, then went to Tipperary again, well backed for his actual debut. Was touched off, a little bit unlucky, was very disappointing on the second start of the car, but I think the heavy ground may have been to blame for that. Thought it was a nice reappearance behind Frill over 7 furlongs of Gorn, and I really liked the way he won at Limerick last time out. He was kind of held up midfield from a terrible draw in 19. And he quickened up really nicely to win. I think a mark of 90 might be underestimate how good he might end up being.
Okay.
And looking at last year, 85 got in, so you'll be hopefully get a run, just hopefully get a draw. Look, trained by Dermot Weld, we're on about earlier, them being overbet, but I think the Galway's so competitive and the money's so good, people kind of caught on to the idea that, look, you can you know, get a good payday for a horse that you might not necessarily get anywhere else. But this horse to me would look well handicapped. And then we've spoken about the race already, the 2 mile handicap, but I just thought my sister Sarah stood out a little bit. She won
Oh, your favourite.
Ah, yeah, but she won this double the last day off 74, I think. She only won a neck, I think, from Coventry, but there were 8 lengths clear of Brazos. She's gone up to 83, but that was her first ever run left-handed. All her other wins had been right-handed. She ran well here at the festival last season. She finished fifth in the main over a mile and a half, which had been too sharp for her. She was beaten less than 3 lengths by Mount Leinster, and she was second in that just shy of 3 mile handicap hurdle behind Great White Shark. That was half a mark of 137. I think she's rated in the 140s. Like, she's been running in graded hurdles, and she'll get to run here off 83. I think a stiff finish over two miles will really suit her. Just hopefully Ruby will give the nods that she's
I was just going to say, were you disappointed
she's in full flow. She's heading there.
She wasn't mentioned by Ruby, though. You mentioned 50 horses, and you didn't mention her. So
I headed for novice and beginner's chases, which are much easier to tip the winners of than handicaps, which Frank likes. So, I wouldn't put you off my sister Sarah. She'll bomb up that hill.
Didn't you fancy her for, you think she could be a player in the Champion Hurdle next year, Frank?
No, it was the other one. But Echoes and Rain.
That's
the one I thought might develop.
Same colours.
I'll give myself that.
Just one other horse to watch there. He's ended up in multiple handicaps. Crown's Major, winner at the Punchdown Festival, well backed for Emmett Mullins. 3 runs at the flat quite quickly together. Good eye catcher, Bellistown, dropped in off slow pace the last day. He's in the mile and a half on a Saturday, and he's in the amateur handicap on the Monday. Just could be worth watching.
We're always keeping an eye on Emmett Mullins now. Everything that he trains, runs, and everything is backed. We're keeping that's a great shape, Fran. There is a small festival taking place across the water as well, Goodwood, I believe. Now, we're going to be looking on with green eyes of envy. It's going to be full, isn't it, Goodwood? My God, they're so lucky. Anyway, less out of that, the better. We could have another belter of a Sussex. It always seems to be this time of the year we're thinking about this is going to be the best mile of the season, and you never know, it could be again. I'm just going to run through the betting, get the lads' thoughts. Poetic Flair, even money at the time of recording. Backed in from 11 to 8 this morning, by the way. Palace Pier out to 6 to 4 from 5 to 4 today. 7 to 1 Order of Australia, winner at the weekend. Alcohol Free, will she take on the boys? She's 8 to 1. St. Mark's Basilica is a massive prize at 12 to 1 if he goes here. 14 to 1 Tills at 20 to 1 Mother Earth and Lopi Fernandez, and 25 to 1 and Big of the Rest. Frank, just give us a quick recap on that betting. I mentioned there's been a bit of a move for Poetic Flair this morning.
Yeah, there are some vibes that maybe Paz Pierre might sidestep this race and maybe go to France. And if that ends up being true, obviously, yeah. You'd obviously like to see the meet, but I suppose you could see the reasoning why they might go to France. I'm not sure Goodwood would be absolutely ideal for Paz Pierre. I think he's very much a staying miler rather than, you know, a turn of pace. And Goodwood, I could just personally, the way I'd see the race be run, I could see Poetic Flair getting away from him. Two furlongs out, and just Paz Pierre not being able to run him down. That's the way I'd see it going. I'd love to run against each other, because I would be very, very strong on Poetic Flair.
Okay, interesting. Fran, as at the time of recording, what are your thoughts on Sussex?
Oh, look, it's going to be a great race. I think Paz Pierre would agree. I don't think it's his track, and I don't think they'll risk him running down a hill on good or fast ground. I think France will probably be where he ends up, unfortunately. Poetic Flair, I was blown away by him in Ascot. What he done now is a Kingman type performance in the way he quickened up going to the Furlong Pole under Kevin Manning. Be very interesting if one of the fillies runs Alcohol Free or Snow Lantern. They're talking about it, tying with it, Mother Earth also. But look, Poetic Flair for me is the one to beat. If to give you one, if there was 8 runners on the day, who'll be a double figure price, possibly Order of Australia. It's very taken by him yesterday in the car. Now, okay, beat inferior opposition. He had his penalty. He's a Breeders' Cup mile winner, obviously, and around a bend. He just might have tactical speed around that track to outrun his odds. But with the weight for age, if Poetic Flair that we see in Ascot turns up, he wins.
Ruby, that's 2 votes for Poetic Flair.
Yeah, look, I'm only going to be repeating what the lads have said. I think this is going to cut up, and it'll be Poetic Flair. He'd be a lot shorter than even money on next, whatever that is.
Okay. Well, we were hoping for the duel or whatever they call it on the Downs, but maybe it'll just be a one-horse race by the sounds of things. What about the Nassau Stakes? Of course, obviously, if Snowlander goes here rather than the Sussex, she really enhances this race. At the time recording, Ordaria is 9-4 favourite Breeders' Cup heroine, 7-2 Snowlander, 4-1 Joan of Arc. Surely Snowfall won't go here. She's 5-1, as is Love, 6-1 Lady Beauthorpe. We assume Love runs this weekend in the King George, but we'll see. And 7-1 Ibera, 8-1 Santa Barbara. Could she be back from the US? Ruby, to you for the Nassau.
Yeah, and I think PK, it all revolves around Love. If she goes to the King George now, I read something is out of the King George, Pile Driver. Would that
correct?
Maybe he would have influenced Ballydoyle's decision. But I think Snowfall winning at the weekend will also have to start coming into the reckoning of what Ballydoyle are going to do and where they're going. And if you're looking at York with St. Mark's Basilica, Snowfall and Love, how do they start splitting them up? They're going to try and want to win as much as they can, so they're not going to keep pigeonholing them into the same races. And will they prefer a softer touch for Love in Goodwood than the harder race she might get in the King George? Possibly could be. I mean, she's a filly, a Group 1 King George on her pedigree or the Group 1 NASA. I don't know, Fran, does one make a huge difference over the other?
Not really, but as you said, longevity wise for Love, I could see her, you know, everything's working back for the arc, of course, Snowfall notwithstanding. I could see her turning up actually in the Nassau. The more you look at it, so it's her ideal, not her ideal trip, but she's better than them opposition to win again a Group 1 at a mile and a quarter. She may be the Irish Champion Stakes, but St. Mark's Basilica would probably go their ideal trip for him. And then the next time you see Love, maybe at a mile and a half, will be in the arc. Santa Barbara, she's the interesting one. If she pitches back up on the back of that win in America, that track could play to her strengths. Fast pace, turning track. Snow Lantern stepping up in trip will be very interesting. I'd say she will stay, but she's so keen in the run that she might not allow herself a chance to stay. And if there's any steadying of the pace on Benz to come up quite quickly in Goodwood, she could overrace. So that's why I can see her going a mile, maybe rather than a mile and a quarter, possibly.
That's what I'd be thinking. Love and Santa Barbara, 5-1 and 8-1 Antipost. I'd say they're the value in the race, because if either one turns up, Frank, you might tell us, I can't see them being those prices.
No, but I'm surprised that you think Love will end up in the Nassau. I didn't think she would run. I thought she was very likely to run the King George, and it's priced accordingly. Now, if we've got it wrong, you're going to jump in her price and get it right. But if we've got it right, you're going to do your dough back in them. Look, Snowfall definitely won't run. Love, I thought, would go to the King George. I know everything's working back from the arc, but the only thing with Love is she is a bit ground dependent. And if you're putting all your eggs in the arc basket and the ground turns up soft or heavy, you know, you could have missed a good few opportunities on the way. And I think she's going to go King George, I would think. And for me, looking at it, like, Ordaria is still 3-1 in the place. I think she'd almost certainly run here. Like, her progression last year was phenomenal. Like, she won a handicap at Newcastle off America 99. On her next start, she's won at Deauville in the Prix-Jean Romana. She's third in the Opera, only a length behind Tarnawa, and she's won the Breeders' Cup fillies and mares, and she's only 3/4 of a length behind Love at Ascot, and she was making her reappearance as well off a long break. So, like, as you said, if Love was running here, she'd be really short, and Ordaria, I think, would almost certainly run. Do you have to get involved in Antipost? No, you could probably sit and wait. And if Love is declared for the King George, I'd be backing Ordaria for this. I think she's still underestimated, and she's proved, like, her form is no fluke. She's trained, like, she's trained on again from 4-5 with that run at the Prince of Wales Stakes. And if Love's declared in the King George, yeah, I think Ordaria take a fair bit of beating.
Yeah, and it'd be really interesting to see the prices if she isn't declared in the King George, to see what price Love goes. And I like the Santa Barbara show myself, actually, but I'm still glowing from my mug double when she won.
Joan of Arc has to be mentioned as well. Like, where does Aidan go with these horses? Mm. You know, she won the French Oaks in great style. Mile and a quarter is probably her ideal goal, but good problems to have. But it'll be interesting to see how Aidan splits them up. He won't want to take on each other, you'd imagine, till later in the year if he has to.
Is there a race back in Deauville for St. Mark's Basilica in the next while?
Only in a mile, is it, to Jack Lamora, is it?
I just wonder when they go a mile and a quarter with Love in the Nassau, a mile and a quarter in the Judmont, take on the Colts and leave the Champion Stakes in Leopardstown open for St. Mark's Basilica, make him a stallion. There's a lot of ponderables when you're looking at this. And I just think Sharpton and Love again at Goodwood and leave Horford at Judmont with Snowfall for the Yorkshire Oaks. Would say Marks and Silica be the obvious one for the Champions League? I don't know. They're all just question marks.
We'll stick you into this conversation. We put you in as one of the lads, Ruby, and get you in that room. Get you in that room to make the case for Love and a few quid on her for the Nassau.
But there's, you wonder what's the conversation the lads are having. That's basically what it is. It's how do you win as many of the races as you can, and how do you spread them out? Where is the options? And it's not always about the one that's in front of your face. I mean, she can go and beat the same horses again in the Nassau. She shouldn't have as hard a race as she might have in the King George. It's 2 furlongs shorter. You'd be sharper on a sharper track for York. I don't know. It's just different ways of looking at things.
But the only thing I would say is, like, is the King George that strong renewal? Is there much depth test? You have Ada Idiar. Look, if you take the form of him beating Hurricane Lane, the Derby, literally, then yes, it is a very strong race. Mishriff was kicked out of the way by St. Mark's Basilica the last day. You'd have question marks about him. Lone Eagle again ties in with Hurricane Lane, the Irish Derby form. But yeah, I'm just not sure it's that. Like, where would the Fanshawe filly fit into the betting here? Like she'd probably be third favourite anyway, wouldn't she?
I'll just run through the betting just to give a bit of perspective. Love 5-4 for the King George, 7-4 ADR or ADR. Lone Eagle 5-1, 6-1 Mishriff, 10-1 Wonderful Tonight, and 16's Moguls, 20-1 Snowfall and Broom, and Hurricane Lane also 20-1. But probably, like I said, Frank, a lot of non-runners in there.
They have nothing else obvious for the King George either. Like Broom at 20-1, Snowfall won't run. So, like, I don't know. I'd just be very, very surprised if she didn't run the King George, to be honest.
Okay. One more race to talk about. It is the Goodwood Cup. And of course, the starting point is Stradivarius. Will he be the ending point? 4-6 at the time recording for the Goodwood Cup off that defeat at Royal Ascot. Spanish Mission, 4-1, 6-1 Trushan, 10-1 Santiago, 12-1 Baron Zambody, and 14-1 Ocean Wind, 16's Passion, 20-1 Serpentine. Redemption, Ruby, for Stradi?
Yeah, possibly. Possibly, but I wouldn't be with him. I didn't like him at the start in Ascot. I think he ended up in the wrong place because he wasn't going. I thought Frankie was gambling from Swindley Bottom on him because he didn't have the horse to get out and go about winning the race. He knew he needed a bit of luck. He didn't get the luck. He got stopped. Would he have been second? Possibly. I think he could be gone. I think he's a 7-year-old colt. I don't think he's getting any easier to train. And I'd be against him. What I'd back to beat him, that's a different question. Maybe Trushan. I just couldn't see myself back in Stradivarius 4-6. I'd oppose him.
Yeah. Fran, on a few pods, Ruby was telling our listeners how difficult it must be for John Gosden to handle a 7-year-old entire, given all the distractions. Had you ever ridden a 7-year-old entire in the flat?
Rode a lot of them in Japan. They don't geld horse in Japan, so they can be 8 or 9 8 or 9-year-olds, but they've got lip chains on them, they've got hoods on them, they've got all sorts of contraptions to get them to start with, just keeping a lid on them. I think Stradivarius is vulnerable. I think his attitude by being a colt is getting the better in pre-race. I think Frankie got harshly criticised in Ascot. People were looking talking about what they wanted to see rather than looking at what was actually happening in the race, because Frankie didn't have the horse to take him into the race. As Ruby said, he went in because he knew if he went out, he was never going to figure, and he took his chance because he had to. I'm very keen on Spanish Mission at the 2-mile trip. I think he's very tactically versatile. I think 2 miles is the key for him, but I would give a big mention to Baron Samedi back up and trip. If the ground stays good, a 1.5 mile Group 1 company in France was too short for him the last day. He ran quite well considering that behind Broom on a speed favouring track. Put another 0.5 mile in Baron Samedi as he had in New York when he won that Belmont Gold Cup. He is the unknown quantity. Trushan is a wet tracker. If it rains on the day and it comes up soft, he will be a different proposition to what we've seen this year. But at current odds, 12-1, Baron Samedi for me is the value against Stradivarius, yes.
Frank?
I'd agree with the lads. I think Stradivarius, like, you have to look at it. 3 of his last 4 runs have been disappointing. And even the win in the Cigarro Stakes beating Ocean Road in length, it's a hardy form to getting carried away with.
Come on, Frank, will you push this fella out to at least even money? Listen to this chat. The 4-6 is not going to work.
It's just more looking at what's actually going to run. Like, I would be very... I think I heard that Saran Priestley might be supplemented. Now the subjectivist obviously is out for the foreseeable future. And I think that would be very interesting. He's yet to run a 2 miles, but he was second in Ledger. He's won over a mile, six at Nottingham in a listed race earlier. I thought he showed a good attitude to beat Al Azzi in Newmarket in the Prince of Wales Tartan Stakes. But you could kind of say maybe Al Azzi wasn't the most resolute in the finish there either. But yeah, if he was supplemented, I'd probably want to get involved. But I don't think it's a race you need to be playing anti-post. I think, you know, at declaration stage, you'll know what's running, and I'd be more inclined to back him at whatever price it's going to be. Maybe say if 8 or more run and he's, you know, 6-5, 6-1, you back him each way, because yeah, I wouldn't be liking Stradivarius at all. I think he's very vulnerable, as the lads have said.
Retire him, John and Thady. Apparently, the From the Horses Mouth podcast have revealed that Stradivarius should be retired. Gone at the game. Get rid of him. Useless, overrated, brutal. Right. We've made our decision. Fine. Well done, lads. Thanks for that. That was a great little look ahead to Galway and Goodwood.
Can I just give you one for hand?
Frank,
you can, this weekend.
From where? For this weekend, is it?
No, I said it at the weekend, but I wouldn't give up on him. Beat LeBan for the Golden Mile.
Oh, you did tip him up, at the weekend.
And again, the race worked out completely how you wouldn't want to go for him. They went a crawl, and he was out the back last, but he was pushed. He's going to be a big price. And just if he's declared in the Golden Mile at Goodwood and gets a relatively favourable draw.
Good man, Frank.
We need the fast ground. Do not forget about him.
I'm glad you made sure you got that red card tip in as well on last weekend's, giving it one at what, 7-1?
7-1. And he won.
Good man. We had a lovely look at the Curragh, the Classics, the Oaks, the really good Weatherby Super Sprint. Frank Hickey, I've got one for you. But in the 250 red card.
7-1, a 7-1 winner of a handicap at red card pays the same as a 7-1 winner in a group one, the Curragh.
Well, there wasn't a 7-1 winner of the group one of the Curragh anyway. But fair play to Ruby Walsh, who put up the Betting Without winner in Divinely. Who
I think it was enhanced in the shops.
It was enhanced in the shops, Ruby. Yeah. Good man, Ruby. I can tell you, you're a great company man you are. Listen, Fran, thanks a million for joining us. We are going to be hearing from you during Galway and Goodwood Week, which is great. Ruby, I hope you're going. Are you going to Galway, Ruby?
I am. I'm working the first 5 days, PK.
Ah, good man. And Fran, you're working for RTV and RTE as well?
Yeah, and they're 4 or 5 days, yes. RTE on Monday, RTV the rest of the week. So looking forward to that. I was in Kilbeggan on the Friday Galway last year when all them double meetings. So get back to the big show.
that's mad that they had another meeting the same day, isn't it? That's cool. I'd say, look, to be fair, Ireland must be the only country in the world that shows a maiden on terrestrial television. I'd say we're definitely, if ever there was any other country that did that, they don't anymore, a maiden or a 0-75 on terrestrial television. But that's Galway, folks. Frank, Frank Hickey is taking holidays for the week of Galway and Goodwood. How on earth did you manage that?
Well, my missus is a teacher, so I'm very limited to when I can take holidays. So we're going down to the in-laws of a house in Wexford. So we're going down for the week, and hopefully the weather is a bit like this. So it's right next to the beach, so we get a bit of sunburning.
Would not be better if it was miserable and you could have the excuse to sit and watch racing all day? And evening.
I do that every day of the week anyway, PK. I need a break. You need to refresh, you know?
No.
Recharge the batteries.
Nope. All right. You enjoy your week off, Frank. Ruby and Fran, you'll be sick to death of me over the course of the week. But thank you very much for joining us. Do check out. We've got a new pod coming on Friday, looking ahead to the weekend. I'm taking a holiday this weekend, so we're going to have a new host for you, lads. No idea who it's going to be. But do go easy on him or her. Until then, stay well, stay lucky, and do subscribe to the pod.